They didn't anticipate that that old ceiling was going to be put.
Well, at the time, there, because of the funding limitations, it was decided to whatever condition that ceiling was in was going to be replaced. Back.
It wasn't in the original estimate then?
No.
But you knew it was going to be replaced?
At some point in time, it was going to have to be.
During the remodel?
No. We had no indication at that time that
so
we were going to do it.
So you thought you could do all this stuff that we have to do with the fire system and all the wiring and all that?
And not, put back the old ceiling.
And you thought that would work?
Oh, it would have worked. We could have put the old ceiling back in there, but it was decided that there, because we were getting such a good price on this, and it didn't make sense to put all of that back, knowing that we'd take it all back down again in 12, 14 months and throw it in the garbage and then start over.
I guess that was my question. I just think it's one of those that could have been thought out better.
This again goes back to about $1.5 million or about $2 million worth of remodeling stuff that was in the total courthouse project over and above a lot of the stuff we were doing, the heating, the air conditioning, the windows, the roof, everything else. We went with those essential things. This other stuff was basically stuff that was going to have to be done sometime in the future, with allocating so much each year from inheritance funds or whatever the case would be to get it done. And we
had those discussions on that relative to changing the ceiling, like,
yeah,
here, because the windows...
But Rex, I think they did tell us that was going to be part at the originally.
Yeah.
They said they'd have to do that for the windows. And I don't disagree that it's not smart to put the new ceiling in. It's just I thought it could have been anticipated.
No, the discussions were had. And we, you know, as the money was available is where some of it came from.
The windows, basically, the bid was to replace the windows, but it didn't include any refiguration of the ceilings.
Correct.
Because of...
Correct.
What was
Mr. Chair,
up there.
It was pretty clear in discussions I was in that we did the whole building. We listed, the architects listed everything that should be done at some point. We pared it back to a number of essentials with priorities on what systems, like the insulated windows, the HVAC system, and so on, that would actually make us or save us money. And we prioritized a list, and we came up with a number that we thought a bond issue would pass, which did narrowly, knowing that there was a ton of other stuff that would have to be done later with funds of some kind. So it was, you know, we were very aware of what all needs to be done, even yet, but we're doing it as funds become available and as it makes sense to do them. But we did check off a lot of items, like the ceiling tile, to keep them out of the bond issue, because we knew a 5,000 or 5 million or some such number wouldn't pass.
A bunch of this was in there initially when we looked at prioritizing a little bit over $4 million when we were looking at a bond issue. And we knew that that would be very tough to try to sell that, which would be about 7 cents a bond for your levy to pay those bonds off. That's why we scaled it down to about 3, which got her down to a little bit of about four cents. So. It isn't like this is all new. It's just when we were going to pay for it and how we were going to pay for it.
And the framework is existing. It is the tile only we are putting in, correct?
Actually, no. It's a completely new system.
Is it a completely new system?
Yeah.
Probably go to the 2x2 squares because they don't sag and give you problems down the road. It's a higher quality.
Got him right off his chair.
I'm just going to add, we did talk about this in the earlier building and grounds meetings when treasurers was going to get the new ceiling. Well, when we looked at clerks and assessors, since they don't have any ductwork or anything, it was a great time to take the ceiling up as high as we could and install that ceiling at this time. And if we would have done it later, we could have reused everything for a short time, but it makes a lot of sense to do it now and raise that ceiling up to the proper height, and then that includes wall repair at this time also. And since the fire sprinklers were going through that ceiling, it would be a lot easier to do it at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Does that include different lighting fixtures?
Yeah, the lighting fixtures were all included in the original contract document.
But you can't use, you can't get these bulbs anymore, right?
Well, it, yeah, and the ballasts aren't available anymore. There's just a lot of things that, because of the energy that they use and everybody trying to use less energy, that they aren't manufacturing these high volume units anymore, or the parts to repair them.
We did submit a proposal to Nebraska Public Power about the lights and the energy saving, and they will make, they've already did what was here before, and then they will come back in after everything is done to see what difference that made or will make as far as the less uses of energy. And there's some kind of a grant that they'll reimburse us for because of the energy saving we're making to the building because of the basically all electric basement we were doing now.
You could probably sell these too, can't you? I mean, you can probably auction them off to people that still need them.
The older fixtures?
The bulbs.
Well, it's possible. I would defer that to Mr. Jones. That would fall into his department.
I don't think you can find a ballast for these anymore. They quit.
I mean, people that have them, though, they might need bulbs to replace.
Sure.
Any more discussion? Vote. In favor, Anderson, Gronewald, Bauman, Adams, Fleece, Byers, against Barnard. Approve or disapprove authorizing chairman to sign updated letter to send early warning system joint purchasing project grant.
Good morning. What this is back in November of 08, I started working on a grant with the Southeast Nebraska Development District, the SEND people, on a warning sirens. When I started here 10 years ago, one of the projects that the county board wanted me to complete at that time was replacing all the warning sirens. So we're down to, through USDA grants, through finishing up some project impact money that was here when I came, and through a joint effort with the Homestead and some other grant funds, we've replaced all the sirens. We have 24 sirens. We've replaced all of them but four. We still have to replace the sirens in Philly, Virginia, and the two in Wymore. So they're all the same and updated sirens. Those four sirens, I left those four because they're the newest. Even though they're a 1970s model, they're the newest of the sirens that we had. We had sirens that were actually dated back in the 1950s when I started replacing them. So with the SEND grant, they've come out with a area grant that would allow us to receive funding to help purchase those siren, or those warning sirens. In February of 2009, the board approved this letter, basically advising that we would participate in purchasing the sirens. The locations would be Philly, Virginia. Our portion of that would be a 25% match or $10,000 because the sirens are $20,000 a piece installed. So since then, we thought, you know, the grant was up and down, typical grant process. Now the grant has been to the final approval state. They're doing all the paperwork, and they found that our letters that everybody had sent, we're not the only one, everybody was had filled out and sent was in care of George Fry. He used to work for SEND. Well, now the gentleman's name is Dave Talladay, so they refused all these papers. So we have to re-sign a new paper. And this time I also put in there that this grant would be for the Village of Philly and the Village of Virginia. So you approved this actually to go ahead with the grant for the spend of $10,000 in February of 2009. But now today they need a letter that's updated with the town of Philly, Virginia in it. And the main thing was is that Mr. Fry is no longer there. So,
well, he's there, but only on a...
Yeah.
Need basis.
Yeah. The biggest thing is that the executive director's position has changed. So the way this is looking, the nice thing about this, we've strung it out long enough. I would still, if we needed the money, I'd still have enough money in my budget this year. Good, yeah. I had budgeted budget year before. I think I have enough budget if I had to, because I'm only about 60% spent. If I had to, we could take, but I think the goal is that this will pass past our this year's budget, and we can budget to $10,000 for the grant, and it's going to save us $30,000. So,
are we locked into the $10,000? Is there a chance because there's a time delay that they're?
No, it's 25%.
That's just what.
Yeah,
it's, so
yeah, and basically it'd be a little under $10,000 because I think the last quote on the sirens are like $19,895. So times two.
Need a motion.
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Malman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Real quick, too, I don't think Marlon reported, but we did get the, not we, they did, the highway department got the cement pad, helipad poured at Big Indian Lake. And so I'm going to ask the news media to do some, come out and take some pictures of that and get it in the paper and show that what Gage County Foundation and the remaining of that funds, we'll just have to, I'm going to take a look at how much more and above it cost, and actually because the price of concrete did go up again, I guess, or something. So, but that pad is poured, and I'll be working with StarCare to get everything done so if they want to use it, they can. And I'll get it registered with the FAA and stuff. So.
Okay. Did the Thomas sisters help from their foundation on that pad?
Not on that pad, no.
Okay.
No, this was all a Gage County Foundation, and then a little bit. There's just some odds and ends. The county's portion was the labor and stuff to do it, and then the city of Wymore is going to pick up a little bit of it, fund the remainder of it. So,
good.
I had a memorial from a family member, it was a baby that was born premature, that they used a helicopter to come to Wymore, and we had to land on Highway 77 to for that. So they're going to take that memorial that the family gave us from the baby that I delivered, and we're going to put that money towards that, too. So,
good.
Yep.
Good.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
We will take a 10-minute point of privilege break. I'm learning from you, Ron. Okay, going to reconvene the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Attendance by observation, Anderson, Gronewald, Bauman, Fleece, Barnard, Byers, and... I got that wrong. Fleece is in the room. Barnard's here. And Byers is temporarily absent. Something like that. Approve or disapprove disconnecting and discontinuing natural gas line service to courthouse.
Okay. Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Barnard, seconded by Bauman. Discussion.
We had a gas line that came in to serve the boiler that was heating the... some of the facilities here, we no longer need that gas line, and for liability purposes, we felt it was best to inform them to disconnect it and out where it comes from the street, so we don't have to worry about it anymore.
Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. Denny is temporarily absent, otherwise 6-0. Approve or disapprove resolution to close the weed department fund and to consider it as a function under the general fund and to direct the county treasurer to transfer all monies in the weed department fund as of June 30th, 2010.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Barnard, seconded by Bauman. Discussion.
Dawn, visit them.
The legislature passed a law that now we no longer have to keep the weed fund separate, and so we can consider it as a function under the general, kind of like we moved emergency management, veterans, and all those under. So it's just a matter of formality to move it.
Okay, any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve and disapprove bid proposal for audit service from Schultz and Associate for county audit services. It's a professional service.
I have a packet.
Okay, a packet in here.
Uh-huh. I would move we approve the bid proposal from Schultz and Associates for the audit services for the next three fiscal years.
Three fiscal years, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Moved by Fleece.
Seconded.
Seconded by Gronewald.
I think, aren't these the same? This is the same.
Same and this is the same one. The same amount and the same ones that have done it.
Yeah.
Last 3 years.
Okay. There's no increase there or anything there.
Good. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0.
I should have asked, are you people pleased with working with them and that?
Yeah. good to work with. We have no problems.
Is that amount readily available? How much per year?
It's in your packet. It's $9,500,
I think, was part of it.
$9,850.
Thank you.
And that did not change. That's what it has been. Committee reports. Matt.
I'll just jump in. I'll start Finance Committee budget process. We've got a letter that we're going to send out. Send that out this week, next week, to all the agencies, elected officials, and department heads. We'll start moving on that. There are some changes in the budget. We're going to put some fuel line items in different departments so everyone's accountable for their fuel. Knowing that we're going to need to put some money into the jail across the street instead of having funds come out of the general building and grounds in order to track the expense, we're looking at putting a line item for the jail so that they'll have an expense there. We can track that expense. Let's see what else we talked about there. let's see. Maybe they're done hearing from me. There's some other programs that are out there that we don't have dollars budgeted for that use county expenses, so we're going to have discussion of how we're going to continue to fund those departments that aren't supposed to be using county funds, so that discussion will probably come up. How do we continue to fund those departments? Do those dollars need to be allocated to those departments, elected officials' budgets, because right now they're getting paid out of miscellaneous, and if you know, those need to be tracked also. So some of this is tracking stuff, and we'll try to approach those in the next couple months. Emergency management, we're going to be sending a letter. Again, working on the ambulance contracts. We'll get that 90-day notification out. Then we'll have a public hearing and go through, and I think the intent is to get out of the old contract with the intent of getting into a new contract. So we're changing the contract. Nothing new. We've talked about this ad nauseum now for almost 3 years. So we'll continue to work on that. Get people notified, so you'll start to see more of that.
Building and grounds. Just a few things in regards to the Friends of the Courthouse and the work being done in the county courts in the district court. Rick is going to be working with Friends of the Courthouse. Rob Schaefer, basically, he's their legal counsel, and also Jerry Radigan, to work up some kind of agreement with Schottler's. So they can begin work on the several items that's going to be done in the courtrooms that are going to be paid for by the Friends of the Courthouse. Payments would not be made to Schottler's until after July 1. That will be our next budget year. And that'll be from funds provided to the county from the Friends of the Courthouse funds. So that'll all be prioritized and a separate accounting of all that. So. But he'll be working on that because Jerry Schottler wants to start working on some of this stuff, realizing that he's not going to get paid for some of the stuff that's going to be done until after July 1. Next item was the committee wanted to get quotes to close the south entrance to the driver's license office. The construction Cheevers submitted a work order or change order for us for about $8,111. We asked Dave Jones to ask people in the local area to look at that to see if they received quotes to do that work. We got a quote back from Teeman Construction. I think, would you contact two or three others?
Yes, I did.
On it? Didn't get anything back from any of those. His quote back was $3,028. The only thing we need to make sure that both sides, us and team and construction, is the material that they're going to use to waterproof the block or the wall down there. I think he might have thought about just spraying with stuff, but I think you had some in the specs, some waterproofing material, mastic, whatever you call it.
Right. I talked to Wim. It's called Thorough Seal, okay. And that would be the only change. Otherwise, he had the specs that Wim had for putting the block in and everything. So I will talk to Team in Construction about using Thorough Seal instead of a tar for the waterproofing. So there might be a slight increase in this bid, but not by much.
So the committee told Dave to go ahead since it's under the $5,000 limit on that, so we can get that proceeding on that. So anything you wanted to add to that as far as
No, he said he could get to that soon, and it'd be nice to get that out of the way.
Elevator still on track for mid-May operation. We'll still have one more $1,600 check for May to send out, so that's hopefully everything will go there. The energy window project, we discussed that also on details, and WIM should have something back from us for the next committee meeting, and we'll probably be looking at replacing with the funds we've got available, et cetera, only those windows on the south side at this point in time. That's the one that has the most exposure in a way to everything. So then depending on funding and everything else, then we'll start working, because we got more issues here with cost on this side than what we do on that side. On it. So, sound system, WIM, and the judges, and I guess you weren't there Friday. They met with Tom Russell. I guess, is that the name?
Yep.
Tom Russell. To begin working out details and everything else that needed to be done to make sure the sound system is incorporated with what we're going to be doing with the Friends of the Courthouse and the remodeling, and so everything is done right at the start and to go from there. So we'll be working on that also.
William, you got it? I just add to that sound system. I emailed Tom drawings of the floor plans of the two courtrooms as well as some interior elevations so that he could start putting a package together of equipment and cost and all those kind of things. And then we're going to have another meeting with Dave and the judges, at which point then we'll discuss if we've got where we are with equipment and funding and all of that. And then we'll report back to the building committee. That'll probably be available in the next 2 weeks as well.
And that's another item that Friends of the Courthouse is will be incorporating with their contribution also. Anybody here, general public, if you haven't been up to the district courtroom, see where some of your money's being spent. Look at that ceiling. Go first look into the county courtroom, this corner, and then go over to the district court and look at that ceiling. They have started work on that about a week or so ago. The price was high at $67,000. But if any of you guys want to do that work, when you get in there and look, then good luck. You're up there with two stories high doing that like this. There's 46 of those little squares up there that has to be paint taken off and restained, et cetera, et cetera. So, but I think everybody needs to go up and look at what's being done up there. Just you hear about all the change orders, you hear about this and you hear about that. Work is progressing, and it's really open your eyes up there on what's being done up there. I'm done.
I did take my grandson up there when I took, you know, for his school permit, and he was really impressed. So.
Any other committee reports? Anything else for the good of the order? Anything else for the good of the order? Meeting adjourned, 10:21. Lenhart, did you get a... We're going to start the Board of Supervisors. Open Meeting Act is posted on southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation is Anderson, Gronewald, Bauman, Adams, Fleece, Byers, and Barnard. First thing on the agenda is a consent agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held April 7th. Approve all claims through April 21st in the amount of $519,816.44. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve chairman's signature on designating representative for FEMA disaster 1878, December 22nd, 09 through January 8th, 2010. Approve it, permit 858 for Windstream, Nebraska to replace a communications facility in trouble at East 12, Blue Springs, Wymore. Approve permit 859 for Norris Public Power District to construct an electric utility line, North 9 Adams. Approve additions, withdrawals on securities of county monies. And that's it.
Make a motion to approve consent agenda as presented.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Fleece. Discussion, Matt.
Just as, and I talked briefly a little bit earlier as we were gathering here, just an update as we're going to approve some of these things in the consent agenda. As I've done several meetings, where we're at on the bond and the courthouse renovation, based on some information the clerk helped me get the other day, we got about $9,000 left on the bond. Building and grounds has about $10,800 left. And the inheritance fund, based on the expenditures, say that we have, based on what we budgeted, $567,622. But of that, we've got earmarked and or will have spent, when we go through some of our agenda items, about $653,000. So we're getting down to the brass tacks here, as we know that. And I know Building and Grounds has kicked out a few things. And so just so everyone's aware where we're at, we're spending the money. So just so we know.
Rex?
Gary?
Is the bottom line then we're just about out of money, out of places we can get money to finish the project? I mean, the 500, or what you said there, the large number is earmarked or going to be spent for, we know what the costs are. Mm-hmm. So how much money do we actually have left to finish the job? Are we going to run out of money before we run out of job?
Well, I think what we may run into is what we have budgeted for this fiscal year. We're looking at about, if you take 40, 50, we got about maybe $60,000, $70,000 left to spend that's not earmarked. Now, there's some work that's out there that hasn't been done yet, or the bills haven't come in. So that's why it's important to keep the $653,000 number in your head, part of inheritance. But all those claims haven't been paid because we've got, and some of the work hasn't been done because we still show as an expenditure $567,000 out of the budgeted inheritance. Now, like anything else, we've got places in our budget we may have to just not do things if we have to use some money, but just let everybody know that we're getting down there. And I know that we had Wim that was here a month or so ago, and I think we asked him shortly after we did that big change order, where are we getting at on this? Are we getting pretty close? And I appreciate his being very candid. This should be the biggest one we see. So hopefully they're smaller ones and we should come in. So otherwise we'll just have, you know, my opinion is we just stop doing some stuff for a while until we can save some money.
You got to remember also the Heritage Fund, there's been some money taken out of that in the last month or so for items other than the courthouse renovation.
Yeah, and the inheritance, you know, that fund started off at $1.7 million, so we use that for other things too. It's not like we're just beating up the inheritance fund just for the courthouse. We use that for operations. We bought the snow blower out of that. We've done some other good things with that too. And there's some rent at the county attorney's office we've been paying out of that. So things come up, and we've also had receipts come in. I think we've had almost $300,000 in the last 10 months come in. So that fund continues to build a little bit, but we just... Just a snapshot of where we're at so everyone's aware.
Well, we're very close on finishing up.
Yeah, it's just like building a house. You get everything down to about the last part of it, and then you got this to fix. So that's about where we're at right here. Now.
And just comment, you know, as he well mentioned, a lot of this is obligated. It hasn't been spent yet. I mean, keep in mind, July 1, new budget year, the budget all resets, and we look at all this, the needs and sometimes wants and where the financing is. So, and we're getting really amazingly close to July 1st. That'll get here quicker than you think. And the project, are we still looking, Ron, September, a date, you think it ought to be done?
Or? I would think so, pretty well.
And I will have an update on things from Building and Grounds, like when the elevator is going to get going and such. But there'll be a lot of finish work after July 1.
Gary?
One more thing. Matt, you got an idea where we're at on what are we up to on expenses for our defense in these lawsuits? I kind of ask that every time, but kind of keeps us... I think we spend money about every time, so I guess that's why I ask.
Last, where were we at? Outside fees. We've spent $92,000 so far prior to... 92,385. This expenditure report was printed on 4/13.
Okay.
But that's prior to approving claims here, so $92,000 so far.
All right. And we had, what, 100?
We had...
150?
170.
170.
Budgeted.
Any more discussion relevant to the consent agenda? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. You're up.
Well, I'm Lenhart Fritzen, Gates County taxpayer, and good to see you guys all here. I just got a bunch of questions for you. As a taxpayer, I guess.
Name and address for the record.
What's that?
Name and address for her record.
Oh, Lenhart Fritzen, 29813 South 120th Road, Beatrice, Nebraska. Okay, I got some questions on this courthouse deal, I guess, to start with. Have you guys got a time frame when it's got to be done and stopped and so forth, or what was the bid on?
September 1, we're looking at pretty well finishing by that time. You got to remember, we didn't start on this thing until about last May, June. So
okay, so there was no time frame when it was
bid. Well, it was estimated that time about 360 working days.
Okay.
So, you know, your working days is working days.
Yeah.
That could stretch out to be 580 days, you know. When we build dams, you might remember we had so many working days, but it rained once in a while,
right,
so we had to extend those.
Just wondering, I mean, on that question.
The bid initially on it was about 2.1 million on the bid.
Okay.
When it was originally bid about a year and a half ago, and the bond issue was 2.85.
That's what I voted on.
But also keep in mind that bond issue also included the renovation, not only the renovation, but also the $305,000 or about $400,000 roof that's on there now.
Did the insurance pay for part of that then?
$305,000, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
But see, that went into the general fund. Okay. We couldn't earmark that. That's true.
Oh, okay.
You know, so.
Okay.
It isn't, you know, we could have added that someplace, but that went back in a general fund. But still, when we look at the total overall cost to taxpayers on that, $305,000 of that $2.85 million bond issue came from insurance.
Yeah.
But we couldn't distinguish it.
I see. Now, how much rent does it cost every month for all the buildings that the county's got to pay for?
$1,600, all I'm aware of right now, unless we're...
Well, I need to clarify. I have a note passed to me that this is a public comment period and not question and answer, and we need to follow the agenda.
So, yeah, but how do you comment?
I realize that. Yeah. Lenhart, some of those questions get with me later, and I can answer that one for you.
Oh, okay. So,
can you participate when we have a motion, like on the change order or different things, if he wants to participate as a public or not?
Yes and no. I mean, that's kind of this body's decision. So, but your questions like that, if I know them, I will answer them for you. So
you will answer them for me?
Later. I mean, if we can't do it now, I will do them later.
Okay.
My suggestion is raise every concern. Make public every question.
I'm not saying don't ask him now. I'm saying follow his format and then get with me later.
Oh, you want to get me?
Put them out over the recording, and then we'll answer them for you later. We can't do it now.
You can't do it now?
Well, not per the comments from the public and requests for future agenda items.
In other words,
anyone may comment on any matter that is not on this agenda. However, no board action can be taken until the following board meeting unless the board declares it an emergency.
So Rex, if you mean if he asks them now, you'll answer them right out loud.
I will answer them
when we talk.
But ask all your questions now, though.
Okay.
You'll get your answers.
Then I'll stick around, and I've got a couple pages here. I mean, I'm kind of concerned on a lot of different things, and you know, we needed the courthouse worked over, but you know, there's so many things come to your mind what's taking place. That's why I'm here.
Ask your questions now.
Ask your questions, Lenhart. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
You can do that.
Go ahead and ask him.
Go ahead and ask him. We just won't answer you until.
You won't answer. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit later, we will, though.
A little later?
Yeah.
Don't go away.
Okay, we got that rent deal. Okay. What I'm wondering, if you can spend inheritance tax money on the bond issue we voted on. And, okay, that's a question. We've got, now I've been watching some of the other states and stuff. We, they're cutting positions, they're cutting wages and everything. You guys voted yourself a raise here last year. And we're in different economical times. So what's all behind that? You keep a hiring. So I'll just shut off.
Ask your questions. Cause
no, that's fine. I've got the major ones, and I'll come back another day.
I'm writing them down, so go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay, now have you guys done anything as far as the county sales tax?
I can answer that for you later, too.
Okay, that's what I'd like to know, because there's Iowa. We've got a lot of friends in Iowa where we're at. They've got $7,000-$8,000 an acre land. Their land taxes, they're just about in the same proportions what my land taxes are here. They've got county sales tax on everything. Right here, we only got city, but, you know, you go out to the implement dealer, you got to pay the city sales tax. County don't get nothing of that. So I'd like a pursue on that. Okay, I'll just quit now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a short agenda, so I can answer these for you after.
Okay.
I'll be glad to.
Okay.
And if they want to sit and listen to it, they're welcome to also. So, Marlin Highway Superintendent report.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning.
Didn't waste too much paper.
Did good. Double-sided, even under his hand. Wasted a paper.
Yeah, I'll start out with the zoning. We have a meeting scheduled for May 12th, but I have that site manager training that day, so we're going to try and probably reschedule it, or they'll have to have it without me. Still working on the wind regulations and updating the comp plan. They did a call for an application for some met towers for this Volkswind company that's wanting to develop some wind energy west of town. I sent them a application in our basically our rules that we have now and our proposed rules, so they know what they're going to be dealing with. So moving on to the agenda, we have a received highway superintendent's recommendation on possible road vacate and approve or disapprove resolution, proceeding with the closure hearings and setting date and time for said public hearing accordingly. Yeah, my recommendation's in your packet. This road's been closed for a long time. Wasn't able to determine exactly when, but over 30 years. There's no utilities along the existing right-of-way. The Paddock Township sent a letter supporting the road vacate, and the adjoining area landowners have shown support by signing the petition, and so therefore I recommend we proceed with the road vacate proceedings.
I would so move.
Second.
Moved by Fleece, second by Anderson.
Resolution number 10-11.
10-11. Discussion. Vote. 7-0. Anderson.
Did you have copies of that, Don?
I have copies.
Okay. Thanks. Then moving on, need to approve or disapprove resolution appointing a Title 6 civil rights coordinator. I think you all got a copy of that. Oh, you didn't vote on that? Sorry.
We vote on that road thing, Rex.
Pardon me?
We just, was that a motion on the road closure?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a hearing and stuff, yeah.
Oh. Just a public hearing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, not closing.
Stay out of the candy.
Mr. Chair, yeah. Can I ask Marlon to expound a little bit about this next item?
The Title VI ADA stuff?
Yeah, just what you did to Road Committee on
well,
Monday.
Well, we have to
explain why that's come about.
Anytime you receive federal funds, and it could be windows for the courthouse, could be the Sheriff's Department, could be the Highway Department, FEMA, you're supposed to follow all the Title VI ADA regulations and actually put the wording in the contracts when you let contracts, which basically we've been trying to follow that anyway on contracts. But the state being under heavier scrutiny from the feds are saying we need to comply with all these, actually have a program. Basically, what most counties have done is they've appointed the ADA committee and had stuff going on when there was like the ramp put in or whatever, and a lot of counties were that way, but they really don't have a ongoing program to make sure that you comply with all the equal opportunity stuff. So
since Monday, Marlon, have you passed that on to the county attorney for development?
No.
Or it wasn't that our suggestion as a committee? Those of us that were in there, Ron?
I've run a lot of this by Rick. I don't know if these resolutions are basically NDOR supplied, and Rick's basically said they're okay. I didn't probably run this one by him. We can do that.
Our American with Disabilities Committee is Denny and I.
Yeah.
But it has, historically, that's a committee that doesn't meet unless there is
something going on. Yeah.
Something going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what we talked about at the Road and Bridge was to refer to the county attorney's office, the federal compliance requirements.
Right.
And
to talk about the word program. We have a committee. Just make sure that we have some documentation that we have an ongoing program. And naming this coordinator, and I think you're going to say the clerk, right?
That's what I'm going to say. I don't know if the
since
clerk
that's official
aware of that.
Contact person for the county.
I believe it should be the clerk or the attorney.
But I did.
Our committee, the advice was to Marlon that if he's getting really involved with this because of the stimulus and the federal aid bridges and the road department getting all worked up, that we had better work in coordination with our county attorney's office to make sure that program in place that they keep referring
and
to.
And I did visit with Rick about that, and he said he's willing to help out. And I'm supposed to be getting some more information on from a human resources person at NDR about programs and checking off stuff. So
I don't think we can take any of this for granted. It's very, very important that we are sure that we're complying and doing it appropriately. So I think that we do need to coordinate with the county attorney's office and have some writing back to this board relative to those issues.
Matt?
I guess I'm just going to sister on what you're saying. So I guess I'd recommend no action until we get everything buttoned up. And is there a time-sensitive issue on this? I think with the ADA and civil rights stuff,
they're telling me to send them anything I got. It's better than nothing. So, I mean, as far as these resolutions and stuff, that's, you know, the regulations and the.
Well, if we.
I would think we could move ahead with this. I mean, the clerk is the official correspondence contact person for the county. I think this we could do. I'm just encouraging that we have a follow up with the attorney's office, make sure that we have everything, all our other ducks in order.
Do we know if we give this to, we vote Don, do we know what the coordinator's roles, responsibilities, and obligations are? I don't think Don's a bad person. I think Don's a great person to do this, but I don't want to put but I don't want to put it on her back, and I don't know what those responsibilities are.
It's basically verifying that we have a program and that we're following it. You know, like all the contracts that we do, we have to have that wording in there, and we have to give equal opportunity to disadvantaged contractors, all that, you know, but that's covered at, and the state lets all our contracts. It's just we have to, like with the consultants, we come up with that contract between the consultant and the county, so that we have to have that wording in there also for civil rights stuff.
I agree, we got to have it, but is it absolutely copacetic together right now? I guess if we approve this here, do we work on it later? I guess it's really not.
That would be, I think it would be in the best interest of the county to get this approved and send it up there, because they do want to start on that project June 21st. If we go another couple of weeks and we get into regulations and
In my opinion, as I look at the resolution, I don't think there's anything in there that basically would get us in any trouble. We agree to comply with law. We agree to comply to regulations. We agree we're going to appoint the county clerk as our civil rights, whatever we want to call her. And I don't think we're going to get in any trouble with this. I don't think it's anything, Matt, that we can't change after the county attorney reviews the other process. I think we could appropriately adopt this resolution, move forward. Council, you agree?
I agree with you, Denny. I think we move forward, and as we change things frequently, we can change that as we need to also.
I would move we adopt resolution, whatever the number is.
10-12.
Moved by Byers, second by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0.
Next thing is approve or disapprove specifications and call for bids for motor grader. I got some copies. Basically, what we decided was to request specs on a all-wheel drive motor grader and a standard motor grader. If you remember, we're one motor grader short right now for the dirt crew. I only made five copies, so it's a motor grader without. We always take our scarifier and move it to the next machine whenever we trade that one or trade a different one off.
You're sending around two notice to bidders. Does that notice to bidder include both specifications for?
We'll send both copies out.
Oh, okay.
With when we send the bid packets out.
You couldn't put this all under one bid where they'd have bid for this and bid for this instead of having two notices?
Well, I think we'll just have one notice. We're just bidding one machine, but there'll be two sets of specs.
Well, that's what I was, that's what I was asking.
We'll just put one notice in the paper. We're just advertising for one. So
I think we ought to throw in a bid for another street sweeper for the city also while we're at it.
Why not?
Just offhand, Marlon, what's the difference between the all-wheel drive? What do you think the price is going to be to get an all-wheel drive versus a standard machine?
Probably 30, maybe mid-30 to 40,000.
What's the advantage?
Well, I've been doing some. I'm getting some of that legwork done on it, checking with other counties that have them, other townships. There's two townships that have all-wheel drive, and the one township basically said they never chained the machine up all winter. The only time he got stuck, he said, was when it was his fault. He drove into something he shouldn't have. And for a grading crew, you know, to have that extra, it's just like a tractor with a front wheel assist, you know, they seem to get, be able to do more work more efficiently with the all wheels pulling. So.
Is this under this budget year or next budget year?
It'll be under next budget year.
Come through.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who is speaking.
If you are there. Dead.
That's no kid.
This was basically part of Marlin's wish list for the next fiscal year, and we thought at this point in time to get the process started so that in the next 45 days at least we would have a thing going ready to go for the next year's budget. So
just quick further explanation, he mentioned that the that we're one short. Following up, we had the Brand X machine that we took the buyback on, and we have not purchased another machine to replace that. However, we are paying monthly rent, aren't we, right, on a machine. So, you know, if we can get one bought, Matt, is it $6,000 a month? Is,
yep.
Okay, so $6,000 a month rent. You know, if July 1 comes of the new budget year, if we can replace that machine sooner or later, or if the company would agree, if we do the bid, they most likely would do the trade or do the purchase and let us pay after July 1st. Oftentimes, that's,
yeah, we're getting,
that's the kind of arrangements that can be made with those kind of companies.
Two of the major companies said that would work.
The point, we can move that from a rent to a purchase, saves a little bit.
Which, by the way, is coming out of inheritance on at $6,000.
Yeah, it's coming out of inheritance. Dave, was that a motion?
To approve this motion, yes.
Moved by Anderson.
I'll second.
Seconded by Groenewald. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. What else, Marlon?
Going down the federal projects, we're getting some more work done on the NEPA on the STPE 3220 Beatrice North. I see they're working on the site up there. Still hoping to get that on the bid list in the next few months. Barnston South one, we're having a negotiating meeting on Wednesday of next week with the CE, NDOR, Rich Niedermeyer, the local projects coordinator for our district, to hammer out some differences in the estimates. The estimate we put together was a little lower than the estimate the consultant had. And then when you go back and look through the rules, and the state says, well, you don't have to have a guy at the cement plant all the time, but their specs say that. And so we're still hammering out them little issues like that. So I guess for them, if they decide not to have one there all the time and the Fed gets after them, they could probably cover it some way. But if the county would do that, and then they just turn around and say, well, you know, they didn't follow the procedure, so we're working that out yet. So hoping to get that done on next Wednesday. So, and that's for the stimulus project.
Mr. Chair.
Dave.
A quick question. We got together, and you and Galen and I, and prioritized who we would like to have for an engineering, on-site engineer, you know, construction engineer. If Manelli Wagner and the state gave you a number that they thought was appropriate, that's what Marlon is calling our number that we thought, and then Manelli came back and said, no, we want more money, basically. I would assume we would have the option, if Manelli just won't come down, can't we go to our second or third choice on that rating schedule and see if they'll do it for less? I mean, there's got to be, otherwise, what leverage do we or the taxpayers have in negotiating with Manelli other than,
when,
hey, we'll hire somebody else.
When we do all this selection, we're not supposed to look at price at all.
Yeah. Makes sense, I guess.
Benelli and 80% reimbursement?
Yeah. The CE work will be 80%. Well, it'll be 100% on this stimulus.
It's stimulus, so it's 100, yeah.
Yeah.
But the point is, the state is going to help you try to negotiate with Manelli,
right,
but it,
right,
it looks like where's the negotiation power? If
we're going to end up,
you don't have a backup plan.
What he wants, because if he's following the rules that they made, you know, they're going to have to come up on their estimate.
As long as his cost per hour is within their,
right,
federal range. And,
yep.
Yeah. Engineers do not negotiate.
Yeah.
They submit proposals.
That's about right.
A little bit different than the rest of us.
Yeah.
Any more questions? Moving right along, our highway department shop hours. I was just going to give you an update on that. We're not going to haul rock anymore on Friday. We've been doing that with part-time help and a couple of the guys just basically getting comp time or overtime. But we are going to keep our shop running 5 days. It seems like when we started that, it works out good on that Fridays when the guys ain't running the equipment. They can do some maintenance on the equipment without shutting anybody down. So we're going to continue that. Just giving you a heads up on that. And then the last thing I had was on the FEMA designated representative you approved in a consent agenda. I think we got 4 or 5 open storms right now. But hopefully we'll start getting some of that money in pretty soon. We've done all the paperwork on most of them, so.
Good to be optimistic on when you're going to get your money.
I'm going to call and start. They're short of help up there. They only got 2 people in the state that can approve these things and write the checks or send the money. So I don't know. Maybe they need to get more help. I don't know. A lot of disasters.
They're on a hiring freeze.
Yeah.
Anything else, Marlon?
That's all I had, unless there's any questions. I guess I did have a question about that weed thing on the agenda later. It's just eliminating that fund, and the budget will be, as far as the budget page, it'll be basically the same as
what I told you. Yes.
Okay, so it's still the same process. We'd have to come up.
Gary?
One quick question, Marlon. Sometime back, we started down the list of the junkyards that we could get cleaned up. Where are we at on that? How many we got left?
We need to hire a junkyard coordinator. No.
Don?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know which handle to grab a hold of most days when there's.
Can we make her clerk the junkyard coordinator?
I think she feels she already is.
We're sending her all the junk. In a way, everything, all the junk we don't want goes to her office, so why not send it?
I mean, it's just like the trees and the weeds. I mean, I guess if there's a real serious issue, we work on it. When somebody turns in 4 or 5 townships with trees all over, where do you start, where do you stop? It could be a full-time job for somebody, on all them issues. And I think you probably all got an email from Emily. There's a way to recoup some costs on the noxious weed laws. I don't know about the junk laws, if we can recoup some administrative costs. I know we can, go in and put a lien on it like we did that Virginia school. You put a lien on the property, and that works with the noxious weeds. I don't know if on these other things if we can put a lien on the property or not. That way it don't take as much enforcement. If you're trying to collect money or whatever, if you can just put a lien on the property in order for them to get a clear title, then they have to pay that lien. And so all things to think about.
Okay. Thank you, Marlon. Jane Ford Widhoff, update on PHS priority issues.
I am glad to see you. I just thought I would come here today and just tell you about some projects that relate to the entire district that I think that you should know about. First of all, we're here to promote and protect the health of citizens. And part of that is determining what the needs are. And some time back, we decided to conduct a behavioral risk factor survey in each county. I don't know if you're aware, but this is done all across the state and for each district. And we decided to do one survey in each county per year. And Gage County has already been surveyed. You didn't even know it. But we do have the results back, and we'll be analyzing those and providing them to you and to the healthcare providers This will help with programming by healthcare providers to determine what they might need to do to improve the health of citizens. One of the more important projects that we're involved with is the RAED project. I don't know if you've heard about it, but you know the AED devices that help shock someone when they go into cardiac arrest. Well, there's a program through the federal government where they are very concerned that rural areas, because of their distances, have a lower survivability. If you have your heart attack in a rural area, you don't survive as many times. And that's primarily because of the distances involved. And so what they've done is they've provided funds so AED devices can be provided throughout rural areas, and also that that people can be trained in CPR and the use of AED devices. The whole notion of it is to reduce death rates from cardiac events. And we're very fortunate, we're the only ones in Nebraska to get this, to get a grant for these AED devices. And we have about 20 or 21 for our year to place. And our first step is to identify those that already exist. And we're working with the county emergency managers and others to find out where they exist. One of the interesting things we've found is that we have these devices, but in some instances they're not being cared for, and so when someone goes to use them, they're dry, so you don't get much of a shock. So we want to make sure that that we do have adequate maintenance of these devices where they are available, and that people are encouraged to use them and know what to do, and that they help reduce the death rate. Sharon Klaus, who's right here, our public health nurse, she's going to be coordinating this project, so you'll be seeing her. She's been working with a lot of people to try to find where all these devices are. By law, they're supposed to be registered with the county emergency manager, but often they are not. So we're trying to help with that list. Another thing related to emergencies is we feel that, we have to do an after-action report on what we've done with H1N1. And you know that's the flu that didn't fly. Well, we have to do this report, and we felt that it was a good opportunity to also reinvigorate what we call the public health emergency response teams to help us do that. But what's more important is we know that things have been somewhat neglected for a while when it comes to other areas, so other areas of emergency response. So we're going to be reinvigorating these PERT teams, as we casually refer to them, and they will do the after-action reports. But more importantly, what we're going to do is we're going to use those groups as an opportunity to review what the public health response is and make sure that whatever the response is integrated in other responses or other roles to emergencies that others have. Like, so for example, would have agreements with the hospital, with the county emergency manager, with a lot of different entities, Red Cross. So each one would know better what their roles are, and that we could do a better job in fleshing out what our roles are. Because in my review of the plans, what we have in our plans are not necessarily consistent with what are in each of the emergency managers' plans. And so I think there's been a lot of confusion. So I think that'll be really good. The other thing that we're going to do in line with that is we're going to be reviewing the how we do the strategic national stockpile, because that was kind of a little funniness, not too funny, but a little awkwardness that we had at the beginning of H1N1. And we're going to, let me read my writing, we're going to also be, re-looking at the mass immunization plans too. It's an interesting thing that most of the planning that we've done in the past has been for the extreme event. So when we talked about energizing the strategic national stockpile site, it's not always necessary that you have, you know, you have the big mountain made for this response. And I think the extreme response is what we've planned for. When in fact, when the stockpiles came to us, they fit in the back seat, or they fit in the back of a Suburban. So I think that one of the things that we've learned is that we have to be more flexible in our plans in planning for emergency resources. The other thing is, I don't know to what extent there's a problem with access to prenatal care because of all the hubbub that's gone on at the state level, but we do know that some people that previously did qualify for Medicaid no longer can get care. Well, we have been... what has happened is that many of the healthcare providers are going ahead and providing that care to prenatal, to women requiring prenatal care, and we are helping them in doing so. And it was interesting. I went to a clinic last night that one of the healthcare providers was doing, and I thanked him for what he was doing. And he said, "Well, I consider it a service, but even more important, I took care of two babies that were at 26 weeks, and I know what it can be like." And so that was his reason for providing that service. So we are helping healthcare providers as they might need to respond to that. In line with that, I know you probably do have general assistance caseload, or you have to consider those cases. I just wanted to encourage you that when you have any claims for any health claims, that you consider referring those people to Public Health Solutions, because we do have a case management program. And what we do with that program is work with families with self-care and finding ways to deal with their problems in the long run. I use as an example a woman that middle-aged woman that had been hospitalized 16 times in 1 year. And by our public health nurse working with her, finding resources and working with her on self-care, we were able to reduce her hospitalizations to 3 the next year, and then after that she did not have hospitalizations. Not that we're so great every time, but we do have the capacity for making a difference, so we would encourage you to consider referring those clients to us. Let's see.
I'm going to interrupt just a second.
Yeah.
Have you contracted? Our representative that does RADA is Phil Dittbrenner, who is also the veterans officer, and you might want to coordinate with him.
Jane, I will.
Contact him, and then
I will.
That would be good.
Okay. Many of the activities that we do are to develop the capacity in the community, like the RAED. You know, here we're developing the capacity of the community. Well, we have some other projects that I thought I would mention, too. We got funding from HUD to do, I should back up. Lead poisoning is an issue throughout our district because of the older housing stock. We just came across two babies, one of which had a lead level of 45, and 10 is considered the level at which kids are damaged. So you can see that there are many children that don't have or have a lot of limitations to look forward to unless something is done about that. Anyway, one of the problems in dealing with this, with lead poisoning, is the we might be able to find people that are lead poisoned, but we might not have the ability to actually remediate their living conditions. And so we have a grant, it's called a lead capacity grant, peculiar name in a way, but what we're doing is we're working within the district to find mechanisms to make it less expensive to do these renovations, to teach our own repair and construction people to do these remediations so you don't have to bring in some fancy person to do them, and to find ways that we can provide incentives to get this done. So it'll be a way of getting it done within the communities without having always relying on other money. Another program that's of interest that Sharon is working on is the colon cancer screening program. Colon cancer we have a higher incidence of colon cancer in southeast Nebraska. And we have just a very small grant to promote the public going to their physician and getting a screening for colon cancer. So that'll be something that you'll hear about. Last thing I wanted to mention is the SCIP-FLU program. Now, the SCIP-FLU program is what we've been doing for 3 years, and what we do is we've been doing immunizations for school children in the schools. And some people wonder, well, why are you doing that when they can get immunizations elsewhere? And it is true they can get them elsewhere. But the reality is that school children do not generally get immunized unless the immunizations are brought to where they are because of how things are nowadays with two working parents and whatever, and also the attitudes of some independent kids. And we know that school children are one of our biggest vectors for flu. And so if we can reduce the amount of flu in school kids, we can reduce the flu in the community and protect the more vulnerable people, which generally are older people. So that's been the prime reason we've done the SCIP-FLU program of immunizing kids in the schools. The second reason is that more recently, kids have gotten more severe cases of flu, and also they've gotten complications. In fact, we had one death within the district 3 years ago from flu complications. Anyway, we've gotten to be so successful that we have nearly all the schools. I think there were just two small schools that did not participate this past year. And, you know, it's been very good. We had a great partnership with the schools. The problem is that the cost for us was something in the neighborhood of $60,000-some, which comes out of our health fund. And we don't get the vaccine from the state free. I wish we did. We don't. And the vaccine charge is really what kills us. It's about $45,000 was the vaccine charge. Anyway, our board was discussing what we're going to do in order to continue this program because the you know, our first thought was, well, maybe we shouldn't do it. But there is widespread support for this program, so they're going to be looking at various alternatives to get funding to continue this program because I think it has a long-term benefit. It doesn't long-term benefits in communities to really reduce deaths and costs. I think that let me see, is there anything else? I think that that's about all. I just wanted you to know what we were up to. If you have any concerns or questions or whatever, I'd be more than happy to answer them. I try to keep track of you, but I found that you got to sit in on these meetings to find the real stuff because the minutes are usually are pretty skimpy. So I had a good time at Jefferson listening to all the real scoop.
You, and Ron? Just a couple comments or questions about the getting financial assistance for people. You'd mentioned that couldn't afford whatever. You know.
Oh, you mean for your general assistance program?
Yeah. Are the healthcare providers like the doctors and hospitals aware that this assistance is available to those people so that they know who to go to, like to yours?
Are you talking about the prenatal?
Yeah, or whatever you were visiting with.
Yeah, well, they're providing the care. They're providing the care. Like the hospitals and the healthcare providers are doing it free. And we are helping them do it free so we can minimize the expense for them.
Okay, but they're at least they're.
Oh, we're working very closely with them. Yes.
And available to the person coming in that, you know.
Yes.
This assistance is available to you.
Yes, we've found quite a few people that have not been getting prenatal care. There was one that we saw last night in the clinic that was 8 months long and had never been to prenatal care. Isn't that wonderful? And it's, you know, it's just not good. And so we are doing a lot of case finding. And it's been very interesting. We collect information on why these things are happening. I didn't really, you know, I thought I knew some things about immigration and about the problems that are within our healthcare system, but it is quite a complex issue, and I'm really getting educated on what is actually happening and why these things are happening.
With as long as the lead issue's been around for gosh only knows how long. Where is it still affected by? Is it still paint in the houses, or is it in the soil, or is, I mean, where is it?
It's primarily in the houses. Like, we had one little kiddo that was taken from his parents because of lead, put into foster care because of, put into foster care. Turns out that that foster care home had lead, and then put with the grandmother, and the grandmother's house has lead, and he's the one that's at 35.
Must be some awfully old homes or something.
Yes, they are, and they don't keep them painted. You know, they don't have the money or whatever. They don't have them painted.
Okay, if you went to a foster care facility or a home, it appears that all the regulations that are out there, like if you go to low-rent housing assistance, that's one thing you've got to prove that there isn't lead in that house. If you go to somebody that's going to be in foster care, it looks like that same kind of a regulation would apply to those people, that kids going to a house without lead.
Let's not even get started on foster care.
You would like to think so, but I think they're so happy to get a foster parent, they'll just take them. But I know that would be the ideal.
Yeah.
But it is a real problem, because a lot of times you have people renting homes and the landlords don't have the money, and it's really a problem. And lead ends up causing a lot of violence in kids, which is...
Just seems like as long as the lead issue has been out here with paint, that it's still out there yet. I mean, it's just...
It is.
Well, the main thing Jane is saying is that Public Health Solutions has a program. They're trying to approach this and trying to do something about it. They're working with contractors. They're working with people who are exposed to this and trying to help alleviate the problem. Yeah. So that's what Public Health Solutions is doing at this point.
Yes.
Public Health Solutions is the Gage County Health Department.
Yes, it is.
And leading question, the beauty is, how is the Public Health Solutions funded? And you could probably jump in on that too. How are they funded?
I wouldn't have any idea.
We can.
Yes, I would.
We don't get enough money, I can tell you that. No, we get about $350,000 in tobacco settlement funds. And then we do get a continuing grant for bioterrorism.
Yes.
But most of the other money comes in special grants or contracts.
But you hit the nail. The one I was concentrated on was the tobacco settlement.
Yes.
That's the beauty, is you use a destructive life choice to use tobacco, and then we use that money to promote health in a community.
Right. And we are concerned about that tobacco fund, because we're to be funded on the interest in perpetuity. And so many people are hitting on that fund, it might not be there. So
Don has a question I'm sure everyone's asked. How do you know just if your house has lead without an expensive study?
The health department will do the testing for you. It's not expensive. We're cheap. when it comes to children are so important that this is a priority, and this is where we will spend resources.
When we did the renovation, they went through with the little sensors.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what they did, Dave? But if there was lead there, it was going to.
And it does get into the soil after a while. It's in the, it's in the air. I know Marcy was doing some sampling in one house, and she did a wipe on the bottom of a kid's foot, and it was unbelievably high. And it was from walking on the carpet, which you wouldn't think, which normally doesn't have lead in it, but because of all the dust.
And I was joking about not knowing where the funding coming, because I wrote the legislation.
Yeah. Anyway, real
Thank
pleased
you, Jane.
To see you.
Thanks. Approve or disapprove authorizing chairman to sign interlocal agreement with City of Beatrice to use Edward Brine Memorial Justice Assistant Grant funds to purchase the automatic vehicle location system with $10,000 of the City of Beatrice, $1,357 to the Gage County.
So moved.
Moved by Anderson.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman. Discussion.
Question, Mr. Chairman. What is the Edward Brine Memorial Justice Assistant Grant?
JAG.
Okay.
Mark? I have no idea.
Free money, correct?
Yeah.
I like the word.
It's the money that the city wants to use to pay for part of their portion of the AVL system.
Okay.
It's this is the one that we spent quite a bit of money in with a grant or something here, what, about 6 to 8 months ago to make sure every car had one of those in so you could always track or know exactly where they're at.
We still have a few more payments to make on our portion.
Yeah.
Because we were about to make some payments on our portion of it.
What is it? Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove change order 21 for renovation project for total amount of $16,590. Motion, then discussion, Ron.
I would move we approve change order number 21 in the amount of $16,590.
Need a second.
Second.
Seconded by Anderson. Discussion, Ron.
Basically, going through the six items that you see there, it involves work in 14 offices throughout the courthouse, all the way from third floor down to first floor. Also includes the county court offices. That's item number six. And as you can see, it's basically quite a bit of ceiling work, refiguration of light fixtures, and item number three, taking it from one place and relocating them to another one. And item four was basically removing existing plaster. That was going to be a conference room. It's now being an office room, and so that's going to lower that ceiling to make that more of an office type of facility instead of the higher ceiling. So, and just a few odds and ends, and this is what we're having now. Basically, it's just odds and ends. Wim is here in case anybody has any questions on any of this.
Matt.
Item one, just because it's the big ticket with the 9,400, mm-hmm. Are those the rooms in that, maybe I missed you say it, is that the room in that special corridor that the fire marshal said we had to do? Is this part of that? What is this? What are these acoustic for?
Those are all of the large rooms here on the first floor that at the time we did our bid documents were going to be ceilings, existing ceilings that were going to remain. It was decided quite a while ago in building committee that we would go ahead and replace all of the ceilings on first floor with new, since everything else was getting new, and the level of removal that was taking place to accommodate all the new systems. That is a fairly large number. However, if we go by square footages, we're about 9,500 square feet on each level of the courthouse. And obviously we don't have corridors. That's a separate element, so we'd have to take out 1,000 square feet or so. Roughly, we're buying all new ceilings for the treasurer, assessor, clerk, and this space and the adjacent space for about $3.50 a square foot.
So it would probably be, and it just probably be cheaper or to do sheetrock, but with all the stuff you got up here, you can't do that.
No, we can't.
You have to have access to it.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Rack.
Gary?
When you guys looked at the building and you knew all the stuff we was going to do in these rooms,